Good morning, everyone, and welcome. At least it's morning here, and welcome to the Space Game Junkie Podcast. I, as always, am your co-host Brian, and joining me, as always, is your co-host Jim.
It's too early for this.
Since our guest this week is in Mario, you're in Germany right now?
No, I'm in Croatia right
Oh,
now.
you're in Croatia. I thought you were at a conference or something. I'm sorry.
No, it's in 3 weeks, so still in Croatia now.
Oh, okay. I apologize. So you're in Croatia. Joining us this week is the formal or informal CEO of Little Green Men, LGM, Mario Mihojević. Did I say that right?
Yes, you said it. Excellent.
Yes. All right. Yeah, I wrote it down how you say it, not how it's spelled. So I wrote
So
it down
interesting.
phonetically. So Mario, I want to thank you for joining us. We are here this week to talk about a game a lot of people ask me about, and I've done videos on, and people still ask me about Starpoint Gemini 2, which is gaining a lot of excitement. I gotta tell you, I try and tell people about this game because it's awesome. Folks, if you haven't played it, go play it. It's go buy it right now. Podcast over. Just buy it.
Yeah,
We're done.
yeah, yeah. Listen, listen to Mr. Rubin. He knows what he's saying.
But let's start a little earlier than Starpoint Gemini 2. Let's go back to the first game for a minute.
Okay. Is that
Well,
a trick question?
go ahead.
Is that a trick question going back
No,
to
no, no.
the
I do want to talk about the I do want to talk about it a little bit. So that game came out a few years ago. What was it, 2010? The first Starpoint
Yeah,
Gemini
the end
game
of
came out?
2010.
And it made something of a splash. I remember it was a little buggy at first, but you guys patched, to your credit, you guys patched the hell out of it. And I had a very good time with it. I try to tell people it's a good game, and they see like the Metacritic score. I'm like, no. Don't ignore that. It's actually a good game.
Yeah, see, that's the problem with that stuff is that
Yeah.
the initial score never gets adjusted once you get the stuff fixed. So, yeah. It's
Yeah,
but it's
exactly.
definitely something to invest some time in.
Yeah,
Yeah,
exactly.
that's definitely something that taught us a lesson. So don't do a buggy game. Just remain in the development a bit longer. So that was a good lesson for us, definitely.
Yeah, and I think
Well,
that's actually something that the whole early access thing has enabled is that developers actually can pull some money in and get the game into people's hands, but not be subject to the, well, we're not really ready yet, but we're going to get beat up by critics. So, because people realize early access is early access, which is where Starpoint Gemini 2 is. But when this came out, it was actually early access. It was like playing around with it, and you could see that there was like the framework of the game there, but the game wasn't there. And now that I'm playing it again, you guys have done quite a lot of stuff. So, and I'll
yeah.
let Brian get into that, but yeah, it's a whole different animal than what I saw the first time whenever it first got released on early access.
Well,
It should be.
I was going to ask, like, what, like, so you kind of went into it, but what did you learn from that first release that you have taken to heart for the second one?
First of all, we're not talking to people. That's basically the most biggest difference. The first game was, well, I'm not gonna get into details, but it was made in a very, very different circumstances than the second one. Basically, we were buried in our dungeon office. We were doing a game. We did not communicate a lot, so we actually tried to do it like in a seclusion everything, and that
Oh.
was not the best idea because we had a feeling that if we start offering players all sorts of stuff and get suggestions and feedback, that there might be attacks on the game, attacks on the way it's developed on and it would stretch us in all sorts of directions. However, now after release of second game, I gotta say we were dead wrong. We were completely wrong. Really, it doesn't work like that. We got a ton of suggestions for the second game, and people accepted it in a really incredible way. They were very constructive. They gave us millions of ideas. They helped us. They tested many features. They helped us tweak every single thing. So actually, we should have done that with the first game as well. It would be a different game anyways, because it was a whole different budget and everything. blah, blah, blah. But it could have been polished much better if we had came to people sooner. But that was a bit of a mistake. So in the second one, early access actually amended for that. So we tried to took the most advantage we could have about that.
And I have to honestly, I have to give you guys credit because I don't hang out on the Steam forums much because they're frightening and terrifying. And a lot of forums for early access games are just filled with like vitriol and anger and negativity. But I gotta commend you guys because your forums are very positive. You take constructive criticism well. You foster an atmosphere of again constructiveness and positivity, and it seems to be working really well for you guys. Because one, when I talk to people who have talked to you guys in the forums, I always get like a positive, like "oh, those guys are great" response. But the response you guys have actually taken to heart, like you said, what people tell you, and have a lot of stuff has made it into the game, and you can tell the difference, you know, in the game itself. So I got to give you guys props for having a very positive early access experience, because I've seen some other early access games where devs will delete threads, you know, and stuff like that. But you guys don't seem to have to do any of that because it seems like such a positive experience surrounding this game, which is fabulous.
Well, we're very happy about that, actually. It surprised us quite a bit, but really, it's been awesome. I have to admit, I'm becoming sort of an addict on those forums. I start the day with forums. I'm sniffing through them all day, and I end the day with forums. And it's somehow relaxing. Those are real hardcore players. They love sci-fi games. They love space games. You can talk about them about just about anything. And there's humor. There's everything. Really, it's an awesome place. I had no idea it's gonna be like that. But just cool guys. I mean, maybe we had a voting on our own website about the age of average players. And what we found out is that most of, so to speak, hardcore players are actually like 45, 50, 55, 60, 65 years old. That was quite surprising to us. We have several players of 70 plus.
Oh, wow.
So, and they're, amazingly enough, they're really cool. They play a lot of games. They have suggestions. They are very active on that. And I mean, the people that are in, so let's say, mature age, they actually have a different way of communicating. So they're not easy to snap, to be angry, to outburst or of any kind. So it's actually been a very, very, very nice debate. So awesome community so far. I hope it stays like that.
No, yeah, I hope so too. Now, I don't know if you can see the stream, but I just ran into something that I haven't seen before. We're on Twitch. I just ran into a sensor scrambler, and I had never seen that before. And it scrambles the sensors, and it makes.
That's a new feature. All anomalies now have a area effect, and every anomaly has a different effect. So this one has a effect of scrambling your radar screen and making data on it hardly visible or inaccurate. So that's one of them. But don't worry, there are much more dangerous anomalies.
Oh, really?
Yeah, some of them will, for example, suck you in and throw you in a different part of space, or cause damage to your, kill your officers or kill your crew members or whatever. So this one is pretty benevolent. So don't worry about this one.
Well, I just got jumped and I barely saw them until they were on top of me. So I'm going to get away from it because I couldn't, like my sensors were all scrambled and like I didn't notice those two guys jump me until they were right on top of me. I'm glad I was able to take them out. Now, one thing I love about this game is you have like two control methods, which I like. You have like a mouse control method, kind of like Freelancer, but you can also control it with the WASD keys for slightly finer control. And that was something that you didn't have originally in the first game. You kind of patched the direct control in, if I recall. Is that right? Am I remembering that right?
That's right.
And I gotta say, I love the direct control. Whoa, what is that? I got a message from Raiders. I've never seen that before either. Oh, look, bad guys. Oh, man. But I got to say, I really like – how did you come to implement the two different control schemes? Is that user feedback from the first game that
yes,
lets you do that?
Definitely. I mean, there are two reasons. First of all, people ask for it. And when two people ask for it, you can just take it as a notification. But when 500 people ask for it, then it's a very useful thing to really consider because there's something to it. We don't think we're smarter than a thousand players. So if all of them want something, some feature, there has to be something to it. For example, right now, in the current build of Starpoint Gemini 2, that's a beta version, we have about 30% of all features in-game implemented so far are community-based. So that's actually the game really does not resemble in many ways to the originally designed game. It's quite changed, but it's changed for the better. And we like that. So we're still getting a lot of suggestions. The point is, as we said to people on forums, we are now in a beta version and we are starting to close some things in the games, starting to optimize and polish it and everything. And at this point, we cannot take a lot more suggestions to be implemented now because basically the game would never be over then. We could improve it like for months and years ahead. But what we do is we opened a wish list. We call it wish list. It's quite infamous right now. It has, I don't know, like 10,000 entries or so. So basically that's everything people suggested after we entered beta and said that we're going to do, we still have to implement everything that's on to-do list, but we will not add anything to to-do list for now. But in expansions and everything, we plan after release, we plan to make updates and expand the game pretty much on the same speed as we did in early access. So updates will be regular, game will continue to grow after release. So the wish list will be basically a pool of ideas that we're going to take all sorts of ideas for DLCs, big expansions, regular updates, or whatever we do. So this is going to be a continuing work, and it's a good that it turned out like that because it's a really, I think it's a really great sandbox and people recognize the possibilities. You can basically put whatever you want in this game and it should work. So I hope you're going to use it.
I hope so too. Now I was talking to people about this online the other day and they were noticing the lack of a few things that still don't seem to like fully be there. So I kind of wanted to talk about that a little bit. Like, trade doesn't seem fully implemented yet. Is that correct? It doesn't. It seems a little like it's there, but it doesn't seem like it's fully complete yet. Is that right, or is it? Am I wrong on that?
You are right. You are mostly right. The trade, what we have from trade right now, is well, a little more than a skeleton. There won't be. I'm going to be fully honest. We really don't want to assure people to something that's not going to happen. The trade, for the players that played, for example, X-Series or games like that, that have a very deep, real economical system, we are not aiming to do that. So that's not going to go to that to those lengths, definitely not. But right now, we still have bare bones of the trading system. What we're going to add more is, how to say it, some functionalities. So you'll be able to control and see lists of commodities, what you can buy, where you can buy, the prices, best buy, best sell panels and everything. And also players will be able to influence prices in the game by triggering local events, player trigger events, so to speak. So I'm going to make an example. It's when you say it like this technical, it basically sounds like a techno babble and doesn't really mean anything. So I'm just going to make an example. You enter some area, and that area is full of mining facilities, for example. It's an area where a huge mining industry is booming and whatever. And if you start destroying those mining facilities one by one, eventually, when you destroy enough of them, you will seriously disrupt the production of minerals, of ore that's produced in that region. That will cause prices to skyrocket. So you can actually, you'll be able to influence on the prices on your own side. But of course, it's not going to be that easy when you start destroying facilities. Maybe you'll just ambush one and nothing's going to happen. If you ambush the second one, some guards might appear. And if you start knocking one by one and do it all the time, probably a fleet will be dispatched to intercept you. So that won't be that easy, but it's going to be possible to influence the prices and everything. But as I said, definitely not to the level of very, very elaborate, huge, deep economical system. That is not the plan for now. There are some plans to expand it in the expansion, but that's expansion. We are not going to jump to conclusions now.
Wait, expansion? Wait. you're already thinking expansion?
Of course. Well, we have a wish list. We can't escape from it. It's very, 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 very long. So it's going to be done. I mean, it's not something that's going to be done in like a month after release.
It's not.
After release, we'll may have regular updates, maybe some DLC, and we'll see what can be implemented fastest. But first idea for expansion, well, that's not a really a big secret. We said it on our forums a couple of times. First idea for the expansion is to include more strategical elements in the game. That's also something the community asked for. They feel that this game could go two ways. One way is to be more of a strategy game. The other way is to go to be a pure, fighter simulation or something like that. So we decided it's better to go for strategical elements. And these strategical elements will not be change of concept of game. But, for example, plan is to add controlling stations, owning stations, faction building, territory control, and building stations, researching on stations. So we want to allow players to have part of their own space and manage it. In the same way that they play now, but to expand it. And with that, most likely there will be changes, further changes in trading system, in whatever that means. So, but that's a plan. I will not now promise exactly anything, but it will be done, almost certainly.
But that sounds like it's optional, right? Like you don't have to do that if you don't want to, which, you know.
Don't have to, but we want to.
Well, no, I mean the player doesn't have to. I'm sorry. The player can just skip all that if they want to, but they have the option if they choose to.
Exactly.
Oh, that's fabulous. I love that. And I got to say, I'm doing a ferry mission now. Thank you for adding the waypoints as to where we're supposed to go to get the cargo and where we're supposed to drop it off.
We were slept a lot of times for that. So, yeah, lesson learned. Tell us where we have to go. Okay.
Right. Now, I got to say, the map looks, at least in this version of the game, looks fairly impressive. How much of is the entire map represented in this beta version, or are we just getting a slice of it right now?
Well, regarding the size of the map, this is mostly it. I mean, not mostly. This is it. For these hexes, you see, it's 400 hexes, and that's the entire map. It won't be expanded. In a final release, there will be another map. Not of this size, but another map will be accessed on a bit different way. It would be a spoiler to speak. It's a campaign link. So it will be another map, and we're also using that opportunity to test the system of binding two separate maps, because this is a streamer, and all sectors are loaded immediately. So we're going to add a separate system that would allow new map layers to be placed. And first, we're going to need it for campaign, as I said, and secondly, it's going to be used by modders, because they ask for it. And we're basically going to allow to link as many maps as you want, basically unlimited. Each one separately will be streamed, but you can have a loading point between different maps. So players already, some others wanted to expand the universe, so we said, what the heck, let's do that. Let's make additional maps and you can do whatever you want. So I hope this is going to work fine. As for the content on the map, it's mostly done. What's missing is in the last update, we added nebula systems. That's actually dropping a frame rate somewhat at this point, but we still need to do optimization. So don't worry if you get 10 frames in nebulas. That's pretty much expected at this point. But most objects are placed. We need to place things that are linked to main campaign. That's what's going to be added more in game, and some tweaks will be done, but most objects is on the map. Let's say 60-70%.
Because the map is pretty huge. Like, it's interesting. Like, right now I'm looking at just a part of it, and it looks kind of small, but then you, like, hit the right mouse button, you start scrolling around, you're like, okay, this is pretty massive. And now that you tell me that, like, modders, which I love that this game, excuse me, is moddable. I want to talk about that in a minute. Modders will be able to add their own maps. That can make this game almost infinite, it sounds like, if you want to go there.
I hope so. They requested new maps, ability to add new maps, and they requested, and they will get it, is a global world editor. So the editor, now they have access to material editor, and some others used it already to introduce, for example, Star Trek ships or whatever. So they really made some awesome content for the game, and they can do it through material editor. In a final version, they will... Oh, someone just jumped in the system with warp. Nice. And with global editor, they'll be able to change everything else to set up the entire world and everything. It needs to be completed yet. A few beta testers have access to it already, but we need to polish it first before release. But it will be available.
Wow. And I gotta say, the combat in this game is intensely satisfying. Just intense.
Nice. Good to know.
Stuff blows up real good.
Yeah, Brian and I are both fans of Tauldron Games' Starfleet Command from back in the day. And this kind of tickles that itch.
Because, oh, it totally does.
Yeah, because especially when – and we have our one wish list request too. So whenever you start the game, there's no key bound to the tactical display that puts the shield facings around the ship. And I think, honestly, that should be on by default and then let people toggle it off if they don't like it, because that's so much information about what's going on with your ship and where your shield facings are, because it's really helpful to know exactly where those shield facings are. That way you can kind of divide incoming fire between shields. So
okay. I'm actually writing it down as you speak.
I got to say,
paper version of wish list beside me.
I have to say, I love the tactical overlay. I absolutely, absolutely love it. Now, right now,
it's one of those things that the community asked for. So we just made it, but they actually designed it. So,
oh, well, thank you, community. I did not know that. Thank you, community, because this thing is great. I don't fly with it off. I can't. I'm so used to it now. I rely on the damn thing. Now, right now in this beta version, you're given a ship and you're given a character. But in the final version, you'll get I'm sure you'll start with a smaller ship. And you'll be able to choose your character. You're just giving play. You're just kind of throwing players this kind of frigate. I think it's a frigate. Just to play around with right now. But I'm guessing in the final version, you'll start with a smaller ship and you'll be able to name your captain. Because right now his name is just Adrian Faulkner. Are you going to be able to start with your own like named character and stuff? Or are you starting with Adrian?
Well, no, you're forcing me to disappoint you immediately. I mean, in the campaign mode, you will not be able to change characters. It's a fixed character. It's a son of a hero from the first game. So it's all based on a storyline from the first part, and you cannot change it in the free roam, in the campaign mode. In free roam, you will be able to change portraits of characters, add names, or whatever. That will be possible. In the campaign mode, you can change statistics of your character and class of it and many other things, but visually, no, because it's basically the, as I said, it's the son of a war hero from the first game, and people that played the first game know how he looked, and he can't look different right now. So that's basically the choice that was made in a campaign. Maybe not the best choice, I admit, but that's the way it is right now. In free roam, if people choose to simply use the sandbox and do whatever they want and avoid the main campaign, then it's going to be possible to be whoever you want.
Okay, so I didn't know that. I completely forgot that there's going to be a story based campaign mode and a free mode. You can do whatever you want, basically. Is that so? That's right. There's basically two main modes of the game. There's a campaign mode and a free mode.
Yes, that's true. I mean, basically, the only difference if you choose campaign mode, you'll still be able to free roam. The only difference is in campaign mode, main campaign missions will, as you fulfill the prerequisites for that, you will be offered to advance in a main mission areas. In between those missions, you'll be able to free roam wherever you want, still pretty much the same way. Second difference is that in a campaign mode, two factions are locked in a reputation, Empire and the Directorate. They are enemy, and there is no way to befriend them on any way. Others you can. And the third difference is that in main campaign, there will be global events that's going to shape the standings of all factions and the local wars. Everything will be prescripted, and that will happen around player and will affect his way of play. But as I said, he will be able to simply not start the certain mission and go around free roam, make whatever he wants, and then continue the main story when he wants. In free roam mode, main missions will be disabled and global events will be disabled. That's basically the only difference. So you can start with the character you want and nothing will hamper you in doing whatever you want. That's basically the only difference between campaign and free roam mode.
Man, oh, I like it. So I'm in combat right now. I think I just got blowed up.
You're burning. Yes, you're burning.
I just blowed up. Blowed up real good.
You can use the shield booster to enhance. I see you have it in your equipment slot.
Yeah, I think I used it like once. I keep forgetting. See, that's the thing about this game. I forget to use the special feature booster thingies like that. I'm just like, shoot. I forget about... Now, let's talk about that. Let's talk about the different things you can do with your ship. Now, you can this ship comes like prescribed with a bunch of boosters, but there are other boosters you can buy. There are other like bonuses you can get for your ship and your character, right? There's like a bunch. Like how many? Like okay, so let's see. So we have these. Like I have a shield booster. I've got a torpedo. I've got a speed booster, and I've got an energy defense shield. And these are all. Like, where the heck is that thing? These are perks. They're not perks, but they're like enhancements to the ship. Is that right? And then you have skills like, you know, your plasma booster, your beam manipulation and all that stuff.
Yes. Yeah. So that's all basically down there on the bar. On the left side is, your skill system, so you can use it when you have enough energy and if you research it on a certain level. And on the right side, it's an equipment bar, and there you can you have about 100 different equipment items. They can help you in combat, in research, in travel, in speed, and they can also give you special properties of the ship. So right now, equipments are mostly done. About 80% of them are functional and they're working. So you have different types of torpedoes. If you want to, I don't know, kill enemy troopers on board before you board the enemy ship and take it, you can fire viral torpedoes against them, and that will reduce the number of enemy troops and make your boarding party more successful. You can use borehole torpedoes that can blast huge areas of asteroid fields and enhance mining. You also can have different equipments to help you in combat. Lately, we added, for example, self-automated defense turrets, SAT system. So you simply deploy, if you have that mounted in your ship, if you bought it, it's expensive, actually. Right. You can deploy it, and it's an automated turret that remains in your vicinity and fires at enemy targets. You can deploy minefields and destroy enemies that stumble across mines and everything. There are many things now added. So it actually enhances your ship, but the more powerful system is, it's more expensive. So,
well, that makes sense. And I love the options you can you have available. Like, not only can you buy different pieces of equipment, you can buy enhancements for that equipment to boost it. Like, I've got a couple of things here on some of my weapons. Like, I've got, you know, something that improves accuracy, and I've got an enhancement that what's this one? Okay, which improves critical hit damage, and I've got an enhancement on my shield that increases recharge. So it's really impressive how much you can tweak your ship and your character with skills and such.
Yeah, well, that, for me, that's the point of RPG. It wouldn't be much of an RPG if you couldn't do that. So it was a must have.
Right. Now, I have a question. I see a fleet. Now, you have the fleet screen here where you can play around with your own ship and everything. Can you get other ships in a fleet and command them, like, as wingmen?
Right now, no. It's not implemented yet, but it's coming pretty soon. And,
oh, wow.
Yes, there will be players will be – they're going to be hiring pretty much the same way you hire officers right now. You're going to be able to hire an entire crew, captain, and the ship. So if you have enough money, you can hire a mercenary ship that has a buffed crew, very great statistics, overall toughness in the huge ship, for example. So if you have money, you can hire a really, really huge avatar of destruction to follow you, follow your orders, and help you in battle. Now, the problem, I mean, potential problem, is that mercenaries will not have a fixed price. They will have salaries, just like officers. So you have a Gemini days inside game. They're visible on the HUD, of course. And every month you have to pay them salaries if you have hired a mercenary. So if you run out of money, then mercenaries will either simply leave your service, or they can choose to take salaries from you. So if you hired a very powerful mercenary and you run out of money, chances are he's going to kill you. So,
you got to keep the money rolling in.
Yes, yes. You have to watch your economical balance sheet. So it has to be in a plus. You can't bankrupt, because you go dead if you bankrupt.
Yeah, so when you hire crew, for your own ship, can you hire, say, a gunner, and then he will automatically engage whatever target you lock or anything like that?
You have a gunner skilled officer. You can hire several officers, and each of them has some special skills. And when you hire them, as long as they're on your ship, their skills, their bonuses will apply to your overall ship toughness.
Okay, so it's basically like hiring an officer is kind of like buying a perk for the ship, but they don't actually automate anything.
No. Okay. So the only difference is you can replace them. If you need something else posted on your ship, you can simply replace the officer and send one home and whatever. But if you want to automate fire, when you mentioned it, there is an auto-fire mode, so you don't need a special officer for that. There is an automated fire, another community-requested feature. So they asked for a possibility for turrets to shoot on their own. So you have you can try it if you want.
Okay.
You can. I think it's F is the default.
So yeah. Right. Yeah. So, basically, sorry, Jim. When you're flying, you hit F, and your crew will take over shooting your enemies, which is nice because then you could focus on maneuvering and dealing with your shield facing.
Oh, nice.
But you could do if you turn that off, you can just fire your weapons wherever you want by using the right, you know, the right mouse button.
Yeah, because so, the only hurdle that I've got in the game, I guess, get your pencil ready, is. Whenever I'm playing, I get disoriented about the camera facing and where the enemy ship might be and where my ship is headed. So it would be helpful. I know you can pull the camera back from your ship and that, but it would also be helpful if there was a key that I could lock the camera to the enemy target, and then the camera would just orbit around my ship, and it would kind of keep the turret in the same screen as him, of course, because it's gonna orbit the screen around. But that way I can lock a target and I don't have to sweat about he's going to go off the screen and I can't find him again.
Actually, I think the target lock camera is added already. I think it should be.
Let me look.
I can't be 100% certain because we have several different versions of the game in-house, and the beta test version and the early access version and several versions out. So I kind of confused them, so I don't know what is in which version.
Okay, but you're, doing it, yeah. So all right. And then yeah, I guess the other thing is, if I wanted to look, you know, to the left, the right, to the rear of my ship just to glance, then apparently I have to go into turret mode and swing the turret around to look.
Yes.
And I'm thinking, you already have things going on over on the numeric keypad. So if you had, say, the 2 key was to quickly glance behind your ship, and then 4 and 6 would look left and right, and then when you release the key, it snaps back to wherever the cursor was.
Something like Free Loop Camera in War Thunder.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah, if it was a snap view rather than a pan, right.
Okay.
And it would remember where your camera was before it went from there. Yeah. Also, if you want to center the camera just to the front of the ship, you know, back to the default straight out the nose, I would say like the 5 key would be like just return the camera back to the center and you know, put me back in whatever neutral camera mode.
Yeah, okay. Okay, yeah, just keep it up. We don't have long enough wish list. We can always put a few things over.
Well, I figure like a few things.
2035.
Well, I figure like a camera control is probably a lot quicker than I would like fighters that can undock from my ship and I can fly them around. So I'm going easy on you.
Okay, then. I see you got the idea. Okay, perfect. Written down. Don't worry. Won't be forgotten.
But
no need to threaten.
No one's threatening. But but I have to say, I've just been enjoying the hell out of this game. Now, how do I find a nebula? Because you guys just added that. How do I find a nebula? Is there any way to like look on the map and find one?
Well, there is on the new game. There is one right at the beginning. And that was a long time. It was the only test nebula in the game. So now there are there is one. So yeah, it's in the map. The foggy thing on the map.
Oh, I see. You can turn it on and off. So I'm kind of sort of in one. I'm close to one. I see. Hang on. I am close to a nebula. Ah. I wonder
when you enter it, it's much more visible then. But I have to warn you, the frame rates could go down.
Okay.
Nebulas, definitely. So the in the upper left corner on your main screen. There, just go inside. You can use the power. Oh, you're using power tangent. Sorry.
No worries. No worries. I'm trying to fly into one right now. Yeah, you're because of the limitations of Twitch, you're maybe 30 seconds behind me where I'm actually at. Oh, what's that? A gas pocket.
Yes, you can mine gas in the latest version.
Ooh, interesting. Do I shoot it? Do I?
No. Right now, as I see, you can't. There, it's one pocket. Actually, you've probably seen it before because, I'm seeing this with delay. But whatever, thing is, to mining Nebula, another community suggested feature, by the way, you have to have a special item that's placed in your quick item slot. It's called the Nebula Collector. So when you obtain it, then you come near gas pocket and you launch it and it's going to collect, it's going to deploy itself and collect nebula, and that gas material collected, you can then take it and sell it. So,
I don't have one of those right now. Okay, I'm gonna see if this base over here sells one of those. But so far, my frame rate is not. That's all very foggy, and I love the kind of when you're flying around it. It gives you this effect that you're flying past like smoke or something. I like that. But my frame rate seems fine. Thankfully.
Then you have a very powerful computer.
I'm running a GTX 770, which is a pretty decent video card, I believe.
Excellent. Quite surprised how well it goes.
Yeah, so I just found that lock the camera thing, the feature that I wanted. That's exactly what I wanted. It just wasn't bound to a key by default, so I stuck it on the control key and we're good.
So I can strike it down from wishlist. Okay. Excellent. One thing down. Only 999,000.
Jim, where is that? Where is that command?
It is. I will look it up.
Like, what? Is it under movement? Is it under combat?
No, it's under views. Okay. Let's see.
Is it the chase camera?
Might be.
Because right now it's not.
Right.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
so
I thought chase camera would be like a camera that trails behind your ship, because I'm from flight sim land. So.
Oh well, that's our view. Maybe we made a mistake, but
yeah,
in English is not our native language, so you have to be easy on us.
Oh, that's cool.
Oh no, that's totally fine. No, okay, I got it working now, so I'm gonna try that. So I have to buy this piece of equipment.
Nebula collector. You mean.
I'm looking for it. Gas collector?
Gas collector, yeah.
I found it. I'm gonna buy one because I can afford it. Okay.
You snob. You can afford everything.
I just want one, man. I just want to buy one. I don't want to buy two. Okay, so I bought one, and now do I have to equip it?
You buy it. It's going to be in your inventory, and then just start flying out of this station. And when you fly around, you open fleet panel and go to equipment, and then simply drag it, put it to your equipment there. So now you select first the, it should be somewhere here, gas collector. You choose it, select it, and then mount it on a.
Got it. Okay, I believe I just mounted it. So let's go back to see if I can find out where we just were. Let's see. I think I'm heading in the right direction.
Weapons indicate which weapons are in what arc of the ship? Because I'm not sure. Like some weapons I can shoot further off center of the nose, you know, off to the side than others. But I don't see anything on this tactical overlay that indicates, you know, just where those weapons are going to go, you know, like what the range of the turret is.
Yeah, our arcs are not implemented yet. We are actually still trying to figure out most appropriate place where to put the graphic design for firing arcs, because it's on some big ships, firing arcs are actually overlapping one another, so it's going to be a tricky thing to position them properly.
I've seen that done before with like maybe different colors for different classes of weapons or something. But yeah, it can be a mess if you have a whole bunch of guns. That's for sure. The other thing that you could do, does it indicate the actual guns themselves? Where do you have to go to see what guns are on your ship?
You can go to when you are on in a station or ship or at the anchor somewhere. Uh-huh. You can see the same panel where you're choosing your weapons. Uh-huh. There's a ship schematics, so each weapon placement is graphically shown where it is. So right now you can basically guess where it's gonna fire according to the shape of the ship.
Okay, because on Starfleet Command, what they did is they had a display that you could pull up that was basically that. It was the schematic of the ship with all the weapons in the slots. And then on top of the weapons themselves was the arc of the weapon.
Yeah,
so you could just kind of glance over and get an idea. Yeah, I don't know if that would be suitable here or not. But
I think it was the little yellow icon, something like that, was in some Starfleet. I remember that. It was well done. The little problem is in Starfleet Command, you basically moved your ship on a plane. It was a 3D model, but it moved on a plane. So if we want to place arcs on this 3D tactical overlay.
Oh yeah.
But if you start turning the ship in a vertical axis, then it's gonna get all messed up, because you're gonna change what weapon is currently aimed, and the arcs would look a bit strange there. So Basically, all three dimensions are what's making us problems. We're going to have to think about that, where to put it.
Yeah, because I guess if you just serve the horizontal plane, and don't worry about the vertical, because people will figure that out, but you give an idea of the horizontal plane. Because what tends to happen with me, at least, is I I want the enemy that I'm shooting at to be on the same plane as me, so I just naturally rotate the ship until they are actually, you know, just on the same vertical plane as me. So I don't know if that's a something dumb that I'm doing or what, but I tend to think two-dimensionally even in space like this, which we know is Khan's mistake.
Yes, but I do it too, usually. Because on a big ships, you have many side turrets because it's long. So if you position yourself on a different plane with the enemy, it's going to reduce the firing arc of several turrets. So I usually try to be in the same plane because it gives me the greatest firepower. So it is true. I don't know if everybody's doing that. So.
Yeah, I guess it
would, okay,
just,
yeah.
It would just simplify the job of trying to illustrate what the arcs are if you only worry about just on the same plane. Because, yeah, it would be pretty crazy to try. Because you'd be trying to draw 3D cones out of the ship or something. So.
True, yeah. That's the problem. The combat should, in this, if you've pulled the update when you started the game today, yes, you did. I can see your shield going away. The game is tougher, so beware of that.
Yeah, they just killed me again.
Yeah, but players said it's too easy, so we said okay.
No, that's good. That's good. I like that. And I was able to successfully mine that gas cloud. So, excellent. Yeah, no, this game is great. And so what else, besides Nebulas, what else was – I just kind of glanced at the notes. What else was added in the most recent patches?
In the most recent patches, graphically, those were Nebulas. We made some changes to junkyard fields. We also made possible to send the boarding parties that you have. You can also send them to different objects in the universe. You can send them to some gas facility or something, and you can sabotage that facility. They can perform different tests when they're not on board your ship. We've done some balancing, actually quite a lot of balancing. And I gotta be honest, we've lost an entire week on optimizing the nebulas because we when we introduced them, they looked great, but nobody actually had any frame rate in nebulas. So it's still not optimized completely, but it's better. It's much better now, and a lot more will have to be done. We also done the bounty boards that you've seen on the stations, the screens, like a television around the station. Right. Those screens are now linked to real info panels, so it's displaying current information from Gemini. You can see, for example, information on bounty, on bounty hunters, on current bounties near you, who you can hunt, or it's displaying real information. Also, if you make too much criminal activities, you can end up on that bounty board yourself. So then it makes the game, let's say, very interesting. If you have a 10 million credit bounty on your head, it's bound to be a very interesting travel.
Because you'll have bounty hunters coming out of the woodwork to try and collect.
Yeah,
so, exactly. Right now, most of what I've done in the game are these missions that appear on the map. Like right now, I'm heading toward a rescue mission. How are these missions randomly generated? And if so, how are they generated? Do they pop up based on what's happening in the universe, for example, or something else? Like how are these missions created?
Random missions are generated. Yes, you'll never run out of random missions. They will appear and disappear regarding the location where you are, and they tend to level up with you. So as you are more strong, the missions will be stronger. So that you get some experience from it. Those missions are made to simply grind for credits, experience, and equipment and stuff like that. You need to level up basically, and they will be in an infinite amount. But they're also the most basic missions. So we don't expect that players will go and do like a zillion rescue missions or whatever. They're going to use them to level up if some mission is too hard for them, if they need some equipment. They're going to use them to gain a bit more strength. And in-game, we expect that event fights that simply happened because you entered the wrong region, let's say, or side missions or campaign missions. We expect those types of missions to be of the most interest. So these are very, very basic missions. And we plan to add a few more types of freelance missions linked to convoys, protection, stuff like that.
Yeah, I got to say, that's pretty much all. I love, this is what I love in games like this, is just doing the random missions, you know? So I'm really glad these are here, because I could just spend hours, and I have spent hours just doing these things.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I sometimes decide intentionally to like solve 50 or so random missions just to see how fast I'm going to level up. The problem is sometimes freelance missions take you far away. So you see some interesting random missions that are generated in a hostile area of Outerlands that's beyond the reach of any military faction. So nobody's going to help you there. So the simplest missions in that area are harder than usually, because nobody's going to come to help you, and the chance that you're going to encounter many enemy ships instead of one is much higher. Also, in unlawful areas, let's call them like that, there's a bigger chance you'll encounter bounty, so a hero ship, and they are very hard. If not very hard, but they will be very hard. The plan is to make them function like a boss fight, so to speak. So when you see a bounty, if you're not level 50 and have a very big ship, you better have a very good cloak device or very fast engines. So that's the only thing that's going to keep you alive.
Oh, I keep forgetting I've got a cloaking device on this particular
ship.
Yeah, I just
wanted to ask that. Why didn't you use a cloaking device?
I keep forgetting I have one. Hang on. I keep forgetting. Hang on. So I can just hit the middle button and then turn that on. Where is that? There we go. Yeah. So, oh, wow. That's awesome. You get all shimmery and stuff. And it looks like you slow down as well when you're cloaked.
You shouldn't, actually. Maybe
it just feels like I'm slowing down. But I am cloaked right now, and it doesn't look like that enemy can see me. So that's good.
They should, but they will. We're going to add enemies will have devices that can disperse your cloak field, or if you fly very near enemy for a long time cloaked, eventually he will spot you. He's going to ping the area around itself, and he's going to spot you eventually. So right now, a cloak is maybe a little bit overpowered, because I tried using it in Imperial space, and I flew around like fleets of Imperial ships, and nobody saw me. So maybe it's a little bit overpowered now, but it's very useful. If you have a small ship and you want to avoid fight, it's a very good thing, very nice thing.
Well, I'm going to avoid fighting with these guys, because the great thing, one thing I love about this game is when you target someone, you can't see this on the audio, folks, but when you target someone, you get like a little threat display, like a little like tactical display of like what kind of ship it is. But one thing I love is like it tells you the threat level, and it'll tell you like basically how easy or hard that target will be for you. And I just ran into two impossible targets. So yeah, I switched direction and hit the cloak because I didn't want
to. Maybe that's the safest thing to do.
Yeah. I did not want to deal with that, like, at all.
I mean, you can always try. If by any chance you're stacked with super powerful equipments, and if you succeed to destroy a target that is a much higher level than you, you're going to get a lot of experience, very, very lot of experience, very much. So sometimes it can be useful to try being a hero. Why not?
Well, now I don't have a choice because someone just targeted me, and I didn't notice that must be a new thing where like if someone targets you, and starts to fire at you, you get a little notification in the upper left saying you shouldn't have come here, fella, or something, and then all of a sudden the lasers will start flying. So
yes, that's local events. We are right now we're implementing all sorts of those local events. So something can be triggered when you do something. For example, if you destroy some ship, he can call for reinforcements. So when you think the fight is over, friends will come from warp and from T drive, and they will encircle you and start attacking you. Or if you go to empty area and see a already destroyed derelict and you start scavenging it, another scavengers can appear and say, "It's our loot, get away," or whatever. So those small events, we're just placing them right now inside.
I like that. And those are also generated as you fly through the sector?
Yes, yes.
So besides, that's what I'm kind of loving, because it's making this universe like feel really alive. Because like you'll fly through a sector and there are other ships, you know, doing their things. And you'll get – one thing I love is like if you're in a friendly sector and you're being attacked, you might get two or three fellas coming to help you out, which I like. You know, so it looks like there's been a lot of work put in to making the sector feel alive. The game, the sector you're in especially, just feel alive.
Yes, but a lot more is coming. I think that at this stage, that's one of the things we have the most work to do more. Because there are many events happening right now. People reacted positively on what we added. But still, the map is very, very big. And there are many areas where there are events, but there are not enough events. So we're still pumping it in. A lot more will have to come in. But in storyline, it will. We're going to have local wars. We're going to have many things happening, not just between random ships, but between real armies, factions, and everything. So that still has to be added.
Well, I do like that, because it makes every sector feel like its own little cluster of stories. And since it's all like random, it's all dynamically generated as you fly through them. Like you could say, "Oh, this happened to me in this sector." Well, that didn't happen to me in that sector, you know? And do the things that happen in a, oh man, I'm getting my butt handed to me.
You had to touch the barrel, right?
Yeah. You did make the game harder. I will tell you that. Oh my gosh. Massive hull damage. Oh, I'm dead again. Yeah, you definitely made the game more challenging. Now, will the events that are triggered in a system or generated in a sector, will they also change based on your reputation and your bounty and all that stuff?
Yes, they will.
Oh, my God. You're hitting all the right notes, man. You're hitting all the right notes for me. Because I'm just going to...
Yes.
Sorry, go ahead.
They have to be. I mean, we have a feeling that we made a really cool sandbox, big universe, big maps, many factions. Wow, everything's there. But now we want to make it all interact with each other. That's what we want to do. And I think we have a lot of more work to do, but it has to be done. Something has to... we want events to unfold despite you being there or not being there. So a lot of work more. But yeah, we're trying to press the right buttons.
Well, it sounds like... I mean, this game is going to be ready in September, right? That's the current plan right now?
Yes, that's the current plan.
And it sounds like you're going to have all those systems interlocked pretty much by then, like the systems you were just talking about.
Yes.
Okay. Because it right should, now... Sorry, go
it
ahead.
Should be ready. It should be ready. I mean, for example, the big chunks that are not done yet, like storyline or stuff, we actually, at this point, we don't have... a lot of things that are completely not done. There are very few of those. Most things are, like, in our internal versions, half done, untested, and everything. So we have to simply finish them and start unlocking them. So, I mean, early access did cause a bit of a delay because we've added a lot of features that weren't planned at all. But it's very good. I mean, we are some players that are very anxious to get the full product. We are really sorry that it's delayed, but the game really is better, and I think they're gonna value that when it finally is out there, because they can recognize what they did, what they asked to be in the game, and they're gonna see it.
I love the sound of that, and you have nothing to apologize for. Personally, for me, I'd rather the time be taken to make a better game rather than rush something out the door that might not be finished. So I mean, take your time. I'm already getting lost in this game just doing missions and stuff. This is without the story or the free mode or whatever, you know. So I'd rather you take the time to get it done right. And it sounds like you guys are doing just that. Like, so it sounds like you have an internal version that's ahead of the beta version that we're playing yes. right now with more yes. features and stuff that are added. You're just testing them and stuff like that.
Yes, we do. And to be honest, I was actually very I was thinking just today, should we give you access to that version so you can show people some things they can't see yet? But, I really wanted to do that, but I'm going to be fully honest. There's a little problem with that. That version is much more advanced, but it's much more unstable. So you'd probably get a crash every 2 or 3 minutes. So.
Oh, yeah. No, that's fair. That's
something that we wanted to avoid. It would be very embarrassing. So
no,
we decided to go with a stable version.
That's totally fair. No, I totally understand. I would not want to try and make a video of a game that crashes every 3 minutes. You know, that wouldn't be very representative. So I'm kind of running out of time here. I just wanted to talk about one more thing before we go. We kind of touched on it a little earlier, but the game has modding capability. Like you said, users will be able to create new maps, for example. What kind of tools are you giving the user to allow them to create stuff? Like, can they create ships? Can they create scripted events? Like, what kind of abilities are you giving the player to mod the game?
Right now, the first tool we released was a material editor. That editor allows them to make their own ships. Not design ships. They design ships in whatever tool they want, whatever program they are versed in using. And through material editor, they can include the ship in game. Then they can use material editor to set up all turrets or all ship systems, engines, trails, particles, everything in place, and then import it in game and replace some existing ship, or they can simply add new ships. With that, they can also make different graphics effects. We have about 50-60 mods already before the game was released. That's actually pretty good. We were surprised. And people are making all sorts of things. We have one huge Star Trek mod with basically all Star Trek ships. So I don't know the name of the guy who created it. We know only his nickname. But he made a very, very good job. They look really nice. The other player, for example, he was annoyed that he can't save anywhere in space. And that's a really cool guy, Rishan, his name. He's really insanely useful guy for testing, for everything. He can see things we don't see. But he created a mod which goes around our limitation of saving. So what he created is that when you want to save in space anywhere, which we did not allow in game, you simply press the hotkey and it will magically transfer you to the starting Vigo station, and there you can save because it's station, you can save there. So they're making a lot of different things. There are money mods when you start with a billion credits, or they're simulating the single player experience, which will be in the end. So there is a mod where you can start the game with mod, and you're starting with a small gunship, exactly something similar like you're going to start in the real game. So they're actually making whole sorts of things that they can't wait. It's too much for them to wait, so they're making it on their own. And they're doing stuff. So.
And this is all going
to
be...
Yeah, we can't wait to give them a world editor and everything. So these guys have ideas. So I think they're going to make wonders when they get every tool.
That's super exciting because it sounds like users will be able to make the game they want. And this will be all through Steam Workshop. I didn't look, but this is through Steam Workshop.
Yes,
the mods
yes.
will be available. Oh, see, that makes it even easier for people. You can just subscribe to the mod you want and boom, it's in the game. And you got the mod menu here.
There's one small mod that was made available, I don't know, maybe a month ago. And I can really say one thing. It's the first mod where, and this is my personal opinion, maybe not of all members of the team, but I personally think that guy did the job better than we did. He made a new user interface, a completely different graphics user interface. And his interface is so great. It's I don't know how he did it. I really don't, but it looks very half-transparent, very high-tech, very Star Trek-ish. It looks awesome. And in compared to his, our work looks not so good. So he actually made me feel bad.
Maybe you should hire that guy.
We really should.
Oh, well, Mario, I have to wrap this up because I have to get to work because it's what time is it there? It's about 4 PM where you are in Croatia.
It's 4:15 right now.
Yeah, it's 7 AM here in L.A., so I got to go to work. But first off, Mario, thank you so much. I'm glad we were finally able because I've been trying to get this podcast together for ages, so I'm so glad we were finally able to talk to you. And I want to thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedule of working on this amazing game.
That's what I like to
talk to us about it because when I tell people about this game and what's going to be and everything, they get excited. But I think a lot of people still are like, they look at the Metacritic score for the first one, they're like, I don't know. But I'm like, no. You gotta trust me on this one. This one is going to be great. And I'm actually even more excited to talk to you now. I mean, after I've talked to you, because now that you've told me that people could mod in their own maps and everything, this game could just go on forever. You can just totally get lost in this thing forever, it sounds like, which it sounds like that's kind of what you want.
Exactly. That's the goal.
Yeah, to get lost in this. And folks, I've already lost about 7-8 hours, I think 7-ish, into this game. It's still nowhere near – the version I have is still doesn't even have everything implemented. So – right now, if this looks intriguing to you, get it while you can on early access because it's cheaper. Starpoint Gemini 2, this game is amazing. And again, Mario, I want to thank you for joining us. Jim, as always, thank you for being an awesome co-host. And
thank you for asking us.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Like I said, I've been wanting to talk to you guys about this game forever. And we might have to have you back once the game is released to talk about, you know, how it's doing and everything. But
to check if we did the things from the wish list you said.
But it seems to be getting a pretty positive buzz. Have you noticed that? I've noticed that.
It's much better than with the first game, so I hope it's going to get even better. But
that's what we're trying to do. That's one of the reasons this podcast is here. But Mary, I want to again thank you for joining us. Jim, thank you for being an awesome co-host. And folks, Starpoint Gemini 2, you have to check this game out. Seriously, is one of the games I am most excited about for this year. No lie. So thank you everyone, and have a great day.